The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey everyone, I'm Jacqueline Johnson, the founder of Create and Cultivate, and this is Work Party, a podcast for a new generation of women who are ditching the rule book and redefining the meaning of work on their own terms. In each episode, we bring in leading female entrepreneurs for real talk advice on the topics that matter most to the modern career woman. From hiring to mentorship to raising money and so much more, whether you are pivoting to a new industry, negotiating a raise, turning your side hustle into a full-time gig, or pitching your company to investors, we're giving you the tips and tricks you need to take your career to the next level. Are you ready to make some money moves? Well, welcome to Work Party, the podcast.
Today, we have two lovely guests joining us on the pod, entrepreneurs Stephanie Carton and Courtney Spritzer. They are both impressive multi-hyphenates on a mission to celebrate and share the stories, lessons, and business insights of female leaders, while creating a community that drives connection and support. An entrepreneur from a young age, Stephanie Carton parted ways with her corporate career in 2012 to launch Socialfly, a leading social-first digital and influencer marketing agency based in New York City. And within 8 years, Socialfly was named to Inc.'s 5,000 fastest-growing private businesses 2 years in a row, and has since worked with over 200 brands, including the likes of 20th Century Fox, Univision, Conair, WeTV, and more. She's appeared and been featured on Bloomberg, Forbes, Entrepreneur.com, Refinery29, Cheddar TV, and recently received the Smart CEO Brava Award, which recognizes top female CEOs in New York City. As the co-CEO and co-founder of Socialfly, Courtney Spritzer oversees all operations, strategies, and finance for the business. And since 2011, Courtney has been developing strategic social media plans for over 200 clients, including John Varvatos, Nest Fragrances, Full Beauty, and more. And prior to starting Socialfly, she was a financial analyst for American Express and a bond underwriter at Hanover Insurance. Together, both Stephanie and Courtney are co-hosts of the Entrepreneurista podcast and co-authors of Like, Love, Follow, the Entrepreneurista's Guide to Using Social Media to Grow Your Business. So I think it's safe to say that these women truly do it all. I'm really excited to talk to them today about how they've evolved as friends and entrepreneurs, capitalized on new opportunities, and continue to build and scale their business along the way. So welcome to the show.
So excited to have this conversation with you, Jacqueline.
Yes. So I'll let actually both of you introduce yourself a little bit and your roles and like how you guys sort of ended up where you are today.
Courtney, you want to take this one? You want to go first?
Yes. Hello. My name is Courtney Spritzer. And Stephanie and I have been working together for over 10 years now. We started a business called Socialfly together. And Socialfly is a social first digital agency, and we help brands with everything that they need to be successful on social. And then at the end of 2018, we launched a podcast called the Entrepreneurista Podcast. And then in 2020, we decided to spin off the podcast and morph it into something much larger that was both near and dear to mine and Stephanie's hearts. And that is to really equal the playing field for women in business. So now Entrepreneurista is a media company and private membership community that is on the mission to help as many women entrepreneurs as possible by sharing the stories of successful female founders and giving them all the resources they need to grow and scale their business. Right now, I mostly focus on social fly, and Stephanie and I have always been big fans of dividing and conquering. That's how we are able to get so much done. And people always ask us, how do you get all of these things done? And it's really because we focus on different areas of the business. My background prior to starting Social Fly was finance. So I do tend to handle more of the financial aspect of our businesses together, but we are always collaborating and dividing and conquering.
And hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie. I am Courtney's longtime business partner, and we have been best friends and business partners, as Courtney mentioned, for over a decade now, which I think a lot of entrepreneurs are always asking us, like, how have you been friends, like best friends and in business for so many years? So I think we can definitely talk about some of our learning lessons there. But as Courtney mentioned, we initially co-founded Social Fly, a social first digital agency, and now Entreprenista, and also a syndicate and investment vehicle called Pearl Influential Capital, where we are helping women raise capital. And really, our passions and our, you know, business advisors and mentors and people that we have met along the way have really helped, you know, shape what we've been able to build at each step of our journey, and excited to share all of our learning lessons today with you, Jacqueline.
Yay. Awesome. That was such a great introduction. I love that you guys not only have been partners for such a long time building different types of businesses, but have really branched off and done a multitude of different things, which I really believe is the future. I think, you know, previous it was sort of the gig economy. Now I think it's sort of like the multi-business economy, and how you're sort of creating, you know, entities on entities. And you're able to do that now because of all the amazing tools at our disposal. But let's start with Social Fly first, since that's kind of where it all started at the very beginning. So within 8 years of launching Social Fly, it was named one of Inc's 5,000 fastest growing private companies 2 years in a row, which is extremely impressive. So talk to us about the steps to launching this business, how you two met, you know, how you guys came together, and how you were like, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it.
Yeah, Stephanie and I really met by accident, I guess, like how everyone meets. But we happened to meet while we were both vacationing in Miami through one of my best friends who had started a business when she was in college. And Stephanie was just getting into social media, and they had met at a trade show. And Stephanie and I became fast friends. I was living in Massachusetts at the time. And Stephanie was living in New York. And at the time, we stayed connected through Skype and Facebook, and of course, all the social media tools that have evolved since. And then I moved back to New York. I'm originally from New York. I moved back in 2011. I started working at American Express. And while I was there, they were forming all these partnerships with Facebook, Foursquare, Twitter, and doing really innovative things on these platforms. And I realized, you know, being 3 years out of college, I realized two things. One, I'm really hardworking. And if I'm going to spend this much time in my adult life working, I need to do something that I'm really passionate about. And me being in my young 20s, what was I really passionate about that time? It was social media and posting on Facebook and really staying on top of everything that was going on in social. And that's when I realized, while I was working at American Express, that it could be a career. I told my friend at now, Stephanie's my friend, it's a year later after we met, and she wanted to also have a career in social media marketing and start an agency together. And she convinced me to work with her on the side of our full-time jobs. And after about 10 months, we realized if this is ever going to be a real business, we just got to go all in and do it. And we were young enough at the time to take that leap of faith. We weren't married. We didn't have mortgages. We both had student loans and very expensive New York City rent to pay, but that was the extent of our bills. So we quit our jobs with some savings. And one thing led to another in that first week that we quit our jobs. We got a bunch of interns through an ad on Craigslist. Then we realized we needed a space for these interns. Then we ended up bartering for space with a family friend who owned a printing company. And then that family friend asked us how we're going to get our clients and recommended that we join our first networking group, which really allowed us to land our first clients. And then flash forward a year or two later, we had our first employees on payroll, and we had to navigate all of that. And throughout our experience of being entrepreneurs, we always had people to go to for advice, because something that we realized really early on is that entrepreneurs like to help other entrepreneurs. And that kind of became the theme of what has helped us start Entrepreneurista.
I love that. So at the beginning of Socialfly, how did you know how much to charge, what services to create, and can talk a little bit about like landing that first client?
Yes. So, I mean, in the beginning, especially in a services-based business, our overhead was our time. We were bartering for office space. We didn't have rent to pay. It was really just our salaries. So when we were figuring out what to charge, we would do some market research, see what other firms our size were charging, and try to, you know, come up with a competitive rate. In the beginning, it was really charging as much as our clients could afford. They would tell us their budget and we would tell them what we would do for that budget. After we started to hire employees, it became a little bit more formulaic in what we should charge. And now we charge based on how many hours the work is going to take. And there is a billable rate associated with those hours. And we have a whole resourcing process. And it's a little bit more complex than it was in the early days. But in the beginning, it was, what can you afford? And we'll tell you what we could do for that price. That's how we started.
Totally. And how did the agency change over time? Because obviously social changed over time. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, flexing with the times, figuring out, you know, what was working, what was not working, and how you guys decided to make those pivots.
Yes. To be successful at social, you have to be very, very flexible and be willing to move as the market is moving. What worked 10 years ago does not work today, or it's changed so dramatically. So when we first started, we were a team of generalists. You know, we had a few people who did the copywriting, the media buying, end-to-end, everything you needed on social. And then it wasn't about, you know, maybe I think it was 2015 that we realized in order to scale, we couldn't be a team of generalists anymore. We had to be a team of specialists. So at that point in time, we reorged the company and created a paid media department, a strategy department, an influencer department, a production department. And that still is the structure of what it is today. And we have really strong leaders leading each of those departments. And then we're scaling and hiring based on signing new contracts with clients.
Amazing. So you went from the general to the specific, and that sort of worked as you guys were able to grow and build the agency. So let's chat a little bit about your relationship as co-founders, because as you mentioned earlier, it's very rare to find someone that is that great complement to your skill set. It's very rare to find someone that you're constantly on the same page as. It's a marriage at the end of the day. So I think it can be extremely complex. And I've heard really great stories, but I would say I've definitely heard more horror stories than great stories. So let's get into it. So can you first of all share some tips on how you guys have maintained a healthy co-foundership relationship over time?
Yeah, I'll take this one. So I think the most important thing when having a healthy relationship with a co-founder is having trust and respect. You really have to be able to trust your partner and know that you both are always going to have the best of intentions for your business and also for each other personally. And for Courtney and I, you know, when we first started our business, as we shared, we were friends first. And I think we lucked out that we both happen to have pretty opposite skill sets. As Courtney mentioned, her background is in finance and operations, and she is incredible at that. And I am not great at either of those things. I have always focused on our sales and our marketing and branding. That's what I thrive at and shine at. And I think really being able to see each other's strengths and really understand, you know, where we both shine and should focus on, and not, you know, beating each other up if, you know, again, I'm not great at the finance. I come to Courtney. I'm like, Courtney, does this make sense? Can we do this? Like, I'm not going to spend 5 hours trying to figure that out when I know I can bring that to Courtney and it will take her about 30 seconds in Excel to figure out. So really being able to have these, you know, open and honest conversations about strengths and really trusting each other, again, that you have the same, you know, vision and mission and you're aligned with the goals and the future of what you want for your company.
Like Stephanie said, we really lucked out in that we had opposite skill sets. But in the beginning, we were just both so passionate about social media. So we bonded over that passion and didn't realize until later how opposite our skill sets were, which ultimately really worked out. But like Stephanie said, a co-founder relationship is very much like a marriage. There are ups and downs with it, and you have to be really great at communicating. And, you know, a secret that we've shared throughout the years as we've hired business coaches, or we even joke that it's a business therapist to help us with, you know, different conflicts as they've arisen over the past 10 years. And that has been really helpful to forming and keeping a strong partnership.
Hey, Work Party listeners, we're taking a quick break to talk about today's sponsor, PrintFresh. The holiday season is almost upon us, but when it comes to gifting, I know you're going to want to get a head start on shopping for your friends, family, and peers. And one of my favorite suggestions for a holiday gift is a set from PrintFresh. If you're not familiar, PrintFresh is a woman-owned luxury sleepwear and lifestyle brand made for lovers of patterns and loungewear. They recently launched their PrintFresh Holiday Shop, which is a curated collection of cozy must-have gifts for making spirits bright. They create the prettiest, dreamiest, and softest pajamas on the market, and I'm sure everyone in your life would love to have a set of their own. I bought my mom and sister a pair last year, and they absolutely loved it. Think warm, fuzzy, hot chocolate in hand in a holiday movie marathon. PrintFresh's luxury sleepwear is the cherry on top and pairs perfectly with those cozy winter nights. PrintFresh is one of my favorite female-founded clothing brands as it's focused on inclusivity and sustainability. Colorful and whimsical patterns are beautifully screen-printed by hand onto their 100% organic cotton pieces. I am obsessed with their entire holiday collection, and whether you're shopping for your family, friends, or partners, give the gift of comfort and joy and shop early for the perfect printed present. With sizes from XS to 6X, their range is very inclusive, and they also allow free exchanges, so holiday shopping is effortless. And just in case you overthink your pattern choice, gift cards are always an option. PrintFresh is my secret to getting the dreamiest night's sleep. They've always been the first thing I put on my to-do list before I snuggle down and pass out after an exhausting day, and your family's gonna love them too. More mooshes and even cozier sleepwear are up ahead, the perfect fun and festive style. It's just a click away. Be sure to explore PrintFresh Holiday Shop today. Go to printfresh.com/workparty or use code PARTY for 15% off your first purchase. See what's in store for the season and snag your gift early. Head to printfresh.com/workparty or use code PARTY at checkout for 15% off your first order.
Hey, I'm Molly Sims.
And I'm Emma Shagormley.
We are two best friends with one common obsession.
Beauty.
And by that, we mean everything that makes you look
and feel
beautiful. We tried it all, and we've got your back. We'll be calling on all our favorite health experts, industry insiders, and friends to answer all your beauty questions. Consider us your beauty 411, and sometimes your 911.
From how to fix brassy hair
to the pros and cons of laser facials,
and always with a cocktail in hand.
Always. So be prepared to be obsessed. Check out Lipstick on the Rim wherever you get your podcasts.
Was there anything that you guys did at the beginning of the relationship that really set you up for success in the long run, whether it be financial, whether it be communicative? Like, was there anything that you guys did at the very beginning that were like, we need to continue to do this because it'll keep us on the same page?
I think it was pretty early on that we brought on a business coach to be able to help us. And she really helped us establish, you know, different roles and responsibilities between what we were both focused on, because there was a time when we were just focused on our agency business. Now, over the years, things have obviously evolved, and we've actually worked with our business coach Leslie. She's the one that really helped us figure out how to, you know, divide and conquer when we wanted to launch Entrepreneurista and other ventures as well. But even in the early days, when we were only focused on Socialfly, understanding what each of our roles were and how to, you know, communicate openly with each other and not be scared to have conversations that might feel uncomfortable, because those conversations will happen in business. And if you are too scared to share how you feel with your co-founder, or, you know, you're scared of hurting someone's feelings, like, that's not going to be a great relationship. You need to be able to have those, you know, fierce conversations in a pleasant way, of course, but you need to be comfortable having them.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the idea of a business coach. I mean, people get them anyway. Why wouldn't a co-founder, you know, relationship get that as well? I think that's amazing. So Stephanie, tell us a little bit about breaking off Entrepreneurista, because I think that's such an interesting conversation to have. You have this successful business, right? You guys have been doing it for a really long time. You launch this podcast, it gets its own success. What were the key decision-making factors in saying, okay, let's break it off and see what we can do with this?
I think we always knew after we launched Entrepreneurista and saw the immediate growth and response to the podcast that we always knew there was something more there with Entrepreneurista, but it was this side, you know, content project because we wanted to share these really great stories and give back and help founders and create this amazing platform for everyone. And when we saw it really start to take off, that's really when the pandemic started. And we, you know, there's obviously a lot of horrible things that happened during 2020, but there were also some blessings that happened, including the gift of time. We all got back a lot of time in our day. We weren't commuting and running around, and it gave us the chance to really stop and reevaluate and figure out, you know, what can Entrepreneurista be? And we were getting so many messages from women in our community on our Instagram, and we were getting emails and DMs, and our listeners were reaching out to us sharing things like, you know, I lost my job during the pandemic. I want to start a business. Can you help us? Or I need help pivoting my business. Can you help us? And Courtney and I were like, we knew this was going to be something bigger, but I think now's the time we have to do it. And really, we realized by working with our business coach, the only way to build what we've now built Entrepreneurista to be over the past 2 years would be if one of us really focused on it, because it was this content project, if you will, that we were doing on the side of our agency business. So we decided during the pandemic, we made a lot of changes, and Courtney and I both moved down to South Florida. And we decided that Courtney would continue to run Grow and Scale our agency business, Socialfly, and I would focus on building everything out with Entrepreneurista to be what it is today, which is a full media company, now podcast network, and membership community, the Entrepreneurista League.
Amazing. So talk to us about building the community at Entrepreneurista, because I know the number one question I get asked about Create and Cultivate is, how did you build a community? And I think it's sort of one of the hardest things to teach, right? Like, you just kind of build it based on your own authentic experience. But I'm so curious to hear about your story of building this community and now growing this community.
Absolutely. I think the key to the success of Entrepreneurista and the Entrepreneurista League growing so quickly has been because we genuinely care, are involved, and really want to help women founders and leaders. And that has always been the forefront of our message and what we do. And when our members join, they experience that and they see it. And they're then sharing it with other founder friends of theirs, and they're, you know, joining our community. But in terms of actually figuring out how to get started to build the community, it happened pretty organically from the podcast. So we launched the podcast at the end of 2018 and started an Instagram account. So between, you know, the end of 2018, call it all of 2019 and 2020, we were building our Instagram account and our email list. And then the end of 2020, the beginning of 21, as we were building out what the Entrepreneurista League community would be and what we would offer, we were doing all of that behind the scenes, but our community of founders, they were growing through the content that we were creating. So when we launched the Entrepreneurista League in May of 21 and shared, you know, what you would benefit from by becoming a member, we already had this audience that we could share it with. So members started joining right away. And because we had taken the time over the past like 6 to 9 months planning what would be included in the Entrepreneurista League and building out programming and benefits, they were able to get that experience right away when they joined and started sharing with others.
Yes. So it's that word of mouth, that experience, and people sharing their stories. What has been one of the most difficult things in going from a B2B business to a B2C business? Or like, what has been one of the unique challenges that you faced?
So many. And you know, it's really interesting because we're still B2B, but we're also B2C because we have our Entrepreneurista League for our community of founders, but we also work with brand partners as well who want to get their content in front of our community of founders as well. So actually running an agency business and Socialfly has really helped being able to scale out that portion of the business and know how to sell in partnerships and what brands look for. And then in terms of building everything out B2C, we also had a lot of experience doing that by creating marketing strategies for all of our clients over the years at Socialfly. So I feel like we were, you know, perfectly positioned to be able to launch Entrepreneurista to be what it is today. But I would say in terms of running and growing and scaling a community, which I bet you could, you know, have these learnings as well, when you are managing a community, there's a lot of, you know, back end nuances behind the scene in terms of, you know, figuring out how to charge and retention and building out funnels and different email marketing strategies. And that was actually not something we really had experience doing when we were marketing specific product-based businesses for our clients at Socialfly. So that was definitely a learning curve. But what we did do, we also got a coach to teach us that as well. So we're very big on hiring experts who can always help us really gain that knowledge much faster to be able to then execute.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's amazing advice too. You know, you don't have to be an expert at everything. You can definitely hire people to help you on that. And I love the way that the agency interplays very seamlessly into what you're building now, obviously being your own brand and being that client. So I want to go back to the agency side of things just for a second. And Courtney, kind of tap your brain a little bit, because the space and the digital space has just been crazy over the last 3 years. So much has shifted and changed. And we're all living on Zoom doing digital conferences. Now everyone's on TikTok. The ads game is totally crazy. What are some of the biggest trends that you're seeing? And where do you think small businesses should focus their energy when it comes to the digital space today?
That is a really, really great question. And I have a lot of firsthand experience with this, because on top of launching the Entrepreneurista League last year, I became obsessed with working from home and decided to launch a few work from home products. So I actually used a lot of these tips that I'm about to share to launch DigiCards and Workrobe, which is a line of robes for women who work from home. And really to stand out, especially if you have a very, very limited budget, is it's all about content and leveraging influencers, and also investing in Facebook ads, Instagram ads, and Google search. All of those tactics really work. And I know that Facebook ads get a lot of bad rap these days because they're not as effective as they once were. But I don't know where else you can reach your target audience for less than $10 a day. And for those smaller budgets, it's extremely effective, especially if you're just a small brand that's just starting out. It's a really great place to start. And then with influencer marketing, you know, there are a lot of up and coming creators out there that will create content for you for, you know, less than $100 for each piece of content. And that is in itself is very cost effective, because one, you're reaching that person's target audience, which you should always try to reach people or partner with people that are reaching the audience that you want to reach. And then two, you're getting a piece of content that you can repurpose on your own brand channels. So it's very, very cost effective. The few of the tactics that I recommend, and I would say those are the biggest areas of growth for the agency. It's leveraging influencers, using them as content creators, and finding these micro influencers mm-hmm. that can create content on behalf of your brand.
Yep, absolutely. That's what I've been hearing as well, is that user-generated content piece is really important. You know, not necessarily going after the macro influencers, but finding those micros as well, which I'm sure you've also used on the Entrepreneurista side as you've been building out that brand.
Actually, one other tip that I would share is really leaning in on TikTok. So one of the things that happened with Workrobe in the first 2 weeks of launching was a small creator. She had less than 100 followers on TikTok. She posted about Workrobe and it went viral. She reached thousands of people. I saw instant sales right away. And this creator had less than 100 followers. So it doesn't matter how many followers you have on TikTok, because everyone has the equal opportunity to go viral.
Yeah, that's amazing advice. I love that. So I want to talk a little bit about your investing side of the business. Stephanie, can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, what you guys are doing to help women raise money? Because I think obviously this is such a hot topic amongst the Create and Cultivate community, but also I think on both sides, right? Like I think a lot of people want to start to invest and a lot of people need money. So it's yes. Like, how do we bridge that gap? So tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing with that.
Yeah, that's exactly how this conversation started. So one of our investors in Entrepreneurista and also another company that I'm involved in called Marked, Alyssa and myself and Courtney were having a conversation about how, you know, on the Socialfly side, we have worked with influencers and creators for many, many years. And on the Socialfly side, we work with brands and then contract and hire the creators to create this amazing content. And as you know, they might get paid in free product or $500 here or $5,000 there. And then ultimately, many of these creators are responsible for these brands taking off and ultimately selling or going public. And then in the end, these creators don't have equity in the business, or most of them don't, and don't have, you know, the big dollars to show at the end with an exit or a sale. And then on the entrepreneurista side, we see, and you probably see this at Create and Cultivate, so many of these women who are trying to raise capital, it is hard in general to raise capital, but it is even harder for women to raise capital. And we all know the stats, you know, less than 2% of, you know, VC funds have gone to women-owned businesses over the past couple of years. And we started thinking, you know, how can we really turn this around and give influencers or people that are influential and want to talk about and share different products the opportunity to invest in some of these brands that they're helping to build? So we started having these conversations and, you know, started saying, why don't we test this thesis to see if there's something to this? So we launched Pearl Influential Capital, where we essentially were doing SPVs on behalf of some of these brands that we're putting together these SPVs for. So we've done a couple over the past few months, and they've been going extremely well. And something that's really important to us with Pearl is the first step is education. And then the second step is access. So we need to give women the opportunity to learn about this new asset class, or not even new asset class, but an asset class they might not have been exposed to or had the opportunity to invest in. And then they can choose, you know, with each deal, if it makes sense for them to put their money in. And then for these women who are raising capital, now we're giving them access to women and people who are influential and have the opportunity to really move the needle by posting and sharing about the brand. So that's how it came to be.
Amazing. And for those who don't know what an SPV is, can you walk us through a little bit about what that process looks like and, you know, how people can get involved?
Absolutely. So an SPV stands for a special purpose vehicle. And essentially, when you're raising capital, you have something called a cap table. And if an investor makes an investment, they become one line item, let's say, on your cap table. So typically, you know, unless you have the capital to be able to put in, typically minimums can be anywhere from $25,000 to $100,000 or more to, you know, get on someone's cap table. If you don't have, you know, the ability to make that type of substantial investment, you're not able to invest in the brand. So with an SPV, the SPV becomes that line item on the cap table. And then if you would like to invest, whether it's $2,500, $5,000, $7,000, whatever the amount is that is lower than your traditional standard minimum to invest directly into a brand, you then have access to be able to go and invest through this special purpose vehicle.
Yeah. So it's democratizing the access to invest in these big companies. It's really amazing. And it's such a great way for women to dip their toe in the investment pool without having to write a massive check and feel a little bit more stressed out about it. So let's talk about, now that you guys have what sounds like 400 companies, I want to talk a little bit about company culture and how you guys are maintaining that across all the different now platforms, companies, and businesses that you're running. You know, do you guys have a specific strategy you use when you're building that out? Are you looking for specific people when you're hiring? Can you talk to us a little bit about the bones of the businesses?
Yes. One of the first things that we did when we set up Socialfly, and this was advice that we got from one of our mentors, was to establish our brand values. So whenever we create a business, we outline what the brand values are. At Socialfly, it's all about being collaborative and positive and helpful to others and strategic and ahead of the curve, because we're in client services. So we're always aiming to exceed expectations. So you start with those values. And then when you're hiring, and even when you're firing, you always tie it back to your values. And then in terms of our culture, this is something that we really had to adjust to, especially in this remote environment. When we were in the office, you know, everyone was required to go in every day. We would always have events and things going on in the office. We were very well known on social media for always having some sort of suite in the office. Basically, people would ask me, do you just eat cupcakes all day? But it was a part of our culture in having meals together. Now that we're remote, we have learned, you know, the right meeting cadence to bring everyone together. You know, in the early days, we definitely overdid it with the meetings just because we were nervous about what would happen to our culture if we weren't having a lot of FaceTime. But now that we're 2+ years into working remotely. We really trust everyone and now we're very intentional about how we bring everyone together. But we try to, you know, keep the culture and the DNA of the company alive through, you know, the different events we do in our Zoom meetings and just making sure that our values are very present in the company.
And there's a lot of different tools that have popped up over the past few years. One of the tools that I personally love using to send special treats to our employees is a company called Thanks. It's THNKS, and it makes it really easy to be able to I send Starbucks coffee and you can send like a cup of positivity to a team member. They have all fun names for different things that you can send. So definitely finding new and innovative tools and tech to be able to use to even help streamline that process to really stay connected to our team has been really helpful.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. It was, everyone remembers the 5,000 Zoom happy hours we had in 2020. We're like, this is fun, right? Everyone's like, no.
Wait, I have a question for you, Jacqueline. Have you found any way to make some of these larger group Zoom sessions really fun and less awkward?
No. I mean, whoever finds that out will be a billionaire. I think it's really challenging. I think we did a lot of like where you got shipped, you know, an item and you were following along. Maybe it was like a wine tasting or building a charcuterie board. I think that's really fun because you have an activity as well as like an interaction, but it's just not the same. I think like I'm such an events and IRL person. Yeah. And I think now we're in a place where we're doing events IRL. So luckily the team gets together now at least once a month, just based on the fact that we're having events, but it's hard. But I think like, I love the idea of the THNKS. I think that's great. Cause I was going to say the fun part about quarantine, we were all in it was getting packages. Right. Most exciting part of your day. So I think leaning into that side of things is always really great, but yeah, it's a struggle. I think, you know, I think we're all still figuring it out and we are figuring it out, but I think the hybrid is really where it's at. So let's talk about what's next. Stephanie, tell us a little bit about what we can expect from Entrepreneurista in the future and like what your grand plan is there. And then Courtney would love to hear about Socialfly.
Yes, our exciting news is we are launching our first Entrepreneurista Awards. That's going to be launching on November 7th, where we're highlighting the top women founders and leaders. So our applications are going to be open November 7th through December 31st of this year. And we're going to be doing a big event in Palm Beach, March 4th of 2023. So super excited, again, like you, to finally be back in person with everyone and planning some really fun events to bring people together.
Amazing. I love that. That sounds so fun.
Yeah, we're super excited. And then on the Socialfly side, we actually just acquired a company, which is the first time we've ever done that. So we acquired them in early September. So we spent the last 2 months integrating the company into ours. And that has been super exciting. And this company focuses on organic social. So as we look to the future, we'll definitely be leaning into the creator network that we also launched this year and helping our clients get on TikTok and make a real impact there. And then our influencer business is growing really, really quickly. And we really see influencer playing a big role in how companies grow and scale.
Yes, absolutely. I know we were saying last year was all about the small business owner. This year's all about the content creator. And I think that's so accurate. But tell us a little bit about, you know, this acquisition that's so exciting. You know, what was that process like for you? And any tips for companies that are looking to be acquired or companies that are looking to acquire companies?
Yes, this was a big learning curve for us. So it has always been a dream of ours to eventually acquire a company. And it actually came about really organically last year. Stephanie and I actually made an investment in SPV, and the person that led the SPV brought everyone together in some sort of networking call. And on the networking call, we met a fellow agency owner. And she shared that she was looking to exit her company. And we shared that, you know, maybe it would make sense for us to merge. She's also a woman-led business like our business. And it seemed like the cultures were aligned. And we just started having conversations with her. She, you know, we sent each other mutual NDA. That should always be a part of your process. And then she started to send over financial information. And then we put some thoughts around how we would structure a deal. She agreed. And then once we, I would say, had the terms ready to go, it probably took about a month. We did it pretty quickly to close and do due diligence. And then we announced it just a few weeks ago, but everything officially closed in early September. The process was really fast. I've heard from others that sometimes it could take much longer, take a year or more. And advice that I would give, you know, anyone looking to sell their company is find someone who has M&A experience, or whether it's, you know, a tax attorney or a lawyer who has done this before, to advise you on the process. If you can afford to hire a banker, I think that that is the way to go, because they can run a very streamlined process for you and market your business to all relevant buyers and get letters of intent from those parties that are interested in you. That's how I would go about selling Socialfly. If we were to do that one day, is I would get someone to help us out and get as many hopefully offers as possible.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, no, that's great. I love to see women buying women-owned businesses. So it's so fun, so awesome. So let's wrap with some sentence finishers. Courtney, success to me is when
I wake up and I'm looking forward to the rest of my day.
So true. Stephanie, three traits that got me to where I am today are
resilience, persistence, and a positive attitude.
Love it. Those are so important. And Courtney, my number one piece of financial advice for entrepreneurs is
to set up QuickBooks early on in your business so that you have it all organized and you can print out a report to know what's going on.
Absolutely. And lastly, Stephanie, my recent proudest moment was
I would say it's all of the moments when I receive such incredible feedback from our members, sharing things like they doubled their revenue as a result of being part of the community, making an intro to someone that led to a $1.5 million investment in her Series A, and just hearing all of these incredible things that are happening because of what we've been able to build. I just feel so proud and excited every day.
Oh, I love that. And can you tell everyone where they can follow all of the different projects you guys have going on?
All right, Courtney, I got this covered for both of us here. So for Entrepreneurista, you can find us online at entrepreneurista.com. And to join our community, you can head over to entrepreneurista.com/join. And on Instagram, we're at Entrepreneuristas. For Socialfly, we're at socialflyny.com and on Instagram at Socialfly. And you can connect with me and Courtney personally. We're both all over Instagram and LinkedIn, always at Steph Jill Carton. And Courtney is at Court Spritzer.
Amazing. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
For more inspiring conversations like this one, follow the Work Party Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to rate and review us or show us some love on social. We love seeing you tune in every week and share your favorite episodes. We're at Work Party on Instagram and at It's a Work Party on Facebook and Twitter. I'm your host, Jacqueline Johnson, and this is Work Party.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.